the Bargs with us. They are Chi Alpha directors at The Point in Wisconsin, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And we are thrilled to hear about what God is doing there and what plans they have and the Lord is leading them to in the years ahead. So let's welcome Nicole as she comes to share with us this morning.
Thank you. Do you guys normally stand up here or down there? What's more comfortable? Wherever. Okay. There we go. Yeah, that sun. Oh, it's wonderful. All right. Okay, I'm going to have to move. Hold on. Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. I just have to say before I start, this morning is just a wonderful blessing. Thank you for being the church, for coming alongside each other and praying and truly caring about one another. You would think this should be normal, but it's not every church that would do this. It's not every church that would come alongside each other and carry one another's burdens. So thank you for being that this morning. We have a wonderful home church, but you make me feel right at home when you display that. So thank you. Okay. I have an extra Kleenex just in case. But in a small town of about 1,500 people, there was a man who was born with birth defects. This left him paralyzed, where he then was disabled for most of his life. He had been to several doctors, had several procedures done to try to correct the birth defects, but all fell short. None were successful. Over time, his family moved away. They moved on in marriage and in career, and so he was left in this town essentially with no one. And day after day, he would sit out on his front porch, and he would kind of watch the cars drive by. And this was his story. This is what was. Now, being in a small town, everyone kind of knew everyone's business. I'm guessing Kingsford might be a little similar. So his neighbors, they knew this man. They knew what he suffered with. They knew the times that he would sit out on his porch and sit and watch. And so they were very much aware. Well, one day, this world-renowned physician was coming to the town to visit a former colleague of his, and word kind of got out that this guy had come. He had been seen on the TVs, he'd been heard on the radio, that like this man, he's known for his practice, and he's got a really high success rate. And so these neighbors, they're kind of out there doing their lawn, and they're looking at each other like, could this be it? Could this be the answer to this man's condition? Could this physician change anything? And so what they did was a little bit wild, but they came together and they came to this man and they picked him up and they put him in the back of one of their cars and they drove to this colleague's house where this physician was going to be staying. Well, what they didn't realize is that as they had pulled up, all the little neighboring towns had heard the same thing, that this physician was going to be there. And so the place was packed, busy, nowhere on the street to park, the house was completely full. And so they see the remorse in this man's face. He had his hopes up, and now he's crushed. There's no way that this physician is going to see him. And so one of the guys, out of compassion, he's looking around, he's like, I got to find something. And so he sees on the sidewalk this big, big, rock. And he bends down and he picks it up and he just stares at it. And out of nothing else, not knowing what else to do, he grabs it and he chucks it through the living room window and glass just shatters everywhere. Well, you can imagine everyone is silent. They pick up the man and they bring him into the living room and they lay him at the feet of the physician and everyone is silent, wondering if this physician could rewrite the man's story. So my name is Nicole Varg, like Pastor Dave mentioned. My husband, Tom, and I, we are Chi Alpha missionaries on the college campus. Tom and I have been married for almost 6 years. And these are our two little goobers. Elliot is going to be 5, and Arlo, he's going to turn 2 on Tuesday. So we just had a giant rager of a party yesterday. Lightning McQueen, cars, Mater, the whole shebang. So forgive me if I look a little exhausted. It's a big deal. But they are wonderful and probably jumping on the hotel bed as we speak. We are very happy to be here this morning, so you get to meet them a little bit. But like the man in the story, I grew up feeling without much hope. I grew up feeling as though my story was it. I grew up in a broken home, one that was filled with much uncertainty all the time. I grew up thinking that things of the world were just what was, and that's kind of how you walked through life. Because of the experiences that I had in my childhood, it left me in college making very poor decisions. Left me in college filled with much regret because of the sin that I had participated in and walked in. It wasn't until one of my best friends from high school, who is atheist, she got radically saved at the local church and brought me to the Mill Church in Stratford, Wisconsin. So kind of smack dab in the middle, a little north, Wausau, if some of you are familiar with, like right around there. The Mill Church, and that's where my story started to become rewritten. I met Jesus when I was 19, and there he started to speak truth. He started to show me true compassion, true love, and I immediately got involved in youth ministry because I was bound and determined. I was like, okay, these students do not need to walk through what I just walked through. Like, if I can reach them before they go to school, before they go to college, like, there's hope. There's got to be some hope that they can know the truth that I didn't. And so over the years, I became the youth director, and I served in youth ministry then until 2018. It was in 2018 that the Lord grabbed a hold of my husband and I's heart. After seeing student after student graduate, these are student leaders who grew up in a Christian home, who loved Jesus, but in the university, just struggling in their faith, struggling to find Christian community, struggling to find and hold on to the truth. And so after that, I was like, God, no more. Like, who's there fighting for them? Who's there that is going to walk alongside them in their questions, in their doubt, in their struggle? And so we quit our jobs. I was doing nursing as well. My husband was doing architecture. And we jumped full force into Chi Alpha. So some of you may be wondering, what is Chi Alpha? Chi Alpha is actually an extension of you, the local church. We are a ministry on the college campus. We're a student org, and we are a Christian ministry that is pursuing Jesus alongside students, helping them see the truth, know the truth, and live within the truth. We desire to create a space for students to meet with Jesus, where he then can rewrite their story. We started our journey moving all the way down to Louisiana. So if you hear me say, y'all, it's real. I don't just pretend, but it grew on me. So we were in Louisiana for 1 year, and that's where little Arlo was born. We then got recruited to come back up to UW-Madison, and we worked on the college campus there with Chi Alpha for 1 year. And then COVID happened, and a lot of things stopped during COVID, but the one thing is that the Lord didn't. And so he pushed us out of Madison, and we are now starting a Chi Alpha at the University of Stevens Point. We are very excited. There hasn't been a Chi Alpha there in over 10 years, and so we are re-pioneering. We're in what we call our launch year, and so we're learning the campus, we're gaining our students, we're raising our support, and then we're hoping to launch in the fall. But with Chi Alpha being an extension of you, some of you may still be like, it sounds like a frat. It sounds like a sorority. It is not. A lot of students, they'll hear our name, they'll come, they'll think there's beer. There's no beer. But we gain them because they actually see that we're a community of students who are wanting to live among one another, who are wanting to do life with one another. Our name actually means Christ's ambassadors. So what we see is that Paul, he instructs us to be Christ's ambassadors, to be a representation of Christ wherever we go. And it's a really good reminder that, like, we all share the responsibility of introducing people to Jesus. Now, most of you, I'm guessing, have probably thought, that is terrifying, introducing someone to Jesus. I have never introduced someone to Jesus. I am still working on me and Jesus. How could I possibly do that? Well, I want to remind you that this morning, the outcome isn't on us. It's not on us to have all the right words. It's not on us to have the exact perfect approach, because the Holy Spirit has been working in that person's life just as they're working in yours. Some of you may have recognized the story at the beginning that I shared as a modern adaptation of a true story that we actually see in Scripture, the story of the paralytic man. Now, he didn't take a stone and break it through the living room window, but they did tear apart a roof, and we're going to look at that account today. You see, Jesus, he never missed an opportunity to address the people that were around him all the time. He never missed an opportunity to speak to their heart. And we see specifically in this story today that Jesus, he addresses the friends of the paralytic man and their faith. And so if you could open up your Bibles with me, we're going to look in Mark, and we're going to be in chapter 2. If you don't have your Bible, we have it up on the screen for you. But at this point in the story, Jesus, he's just called his disciples. He began his public ministry. And we see that in both Mark and Luke's accounts that Jesus' first stop was at the synagogue in Capernaum. And Capernaum was a small little fishing town. And then this is where Jesus, he healed a man with unpure spirits. And afterwards, then he goes and he travels throughout Galilee, and he is just healing people left and right. Like, Jesus is starting to become this buzz. People are starting to hear what he's doing. Now, the story picks back up when Jesus returns to Capernaum, and everyone is now eager to see this Jesus. They're eager to see if what they've been hearing actually is going to happen. They're eager to see if Jesus is going to continue to rewrite people's stories. So let's look at this account, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And when he was preaching the word to them, they came to him, bringing a paralytic man carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. I thank you that your presence is here. I thank you that you are being made known in this church and through this church to this community. I pray, Lord, that you would let this word sink into our hearts and minds. I pray that the mustard seed faith that is within all of us would grow to move mountains, would grow to testify to your truth, would grow to continue to make you known in our lives and in this town. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So this morning, church, I want to remind you that God honors the faith of others. It can be sometimes really easy to, especially if you're already acquainted with Scripture, to overlook the response of Jesus. It could be easy to just see, like, "Oh, son, your sins are forgiven." And that's it. Like, great. Jesus did his thing again. But why don't we look at what Jesus didn't say? Okay. Jesus didn't, he didn't say to the men, "Are you kidding me? Like, you just broke the roof. Like, what are you doing?" Jesus didn't say, "Everyone's already tried. Like, do you see this man?" Jesus didn't say, "Wow, he must be in a lot of sin for him to be like this." Jesus didn't say any of those things. if we're honest, we can find ourselves making excuses. We can find ourselves saying things like, I have too many insecurities. I have some anxiety that I'm working through. I have some depression. Have you seen the sin in my life? Or we can lack of faith in Jesus before we even allow him to do the healing work. We can say that we don't have enough resources. We can say that we don't have enough time. We can look at our schedules and all of it starts piling up before we can ever just open the roof and let Jesus do his thing. We have to remember that God, he never calls us to do it alone. We see in this story specifically that it took four men to carry this paralytic man. And some commentaries suggest that there were even more. I know that there are people in this church right now that have come alongside you in your life to do the things that God has called you to do. We see it spelled out in scripture, right? Moses had Aaron. Paul had Barnabas. God has strategically placed people in your life to help carry the burdens, to help carry the tasks that God is asking you to do. So in college ministry, so I'm not that old. I just have to point this out. I am not old. I am going to be 29. But in college ministry, I feel ancient. I feel so old. I am dealing with these little babies who are 18 and 19 and 20, and they look at me and they think that we are old. We had one student. I'm going to explain kind of some things that we do a little bit later. But we had one student that came over to our house, and he was like, you know, if you were any older, this could be creepy. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you. But one way that I continue to feel old is through the things that the college students are into. One of them being is a meme. Do you know what a meme is? You do. Okay, well, that's good. Are there people here that don't know what a meme is? Wonderful. Okay. I did not know what a meme was until just recently. Just to give you insight, we don't have a TV, so I'm like just far not with the time. We do have a TV. It's in the basement. Our son kicked it, and it fell, and now he thinks it's gone, which has been wonderful. Go without a TV for a little bit. The Lord will bless it. Okay, side story. But, okay, a meme. Yes, a meme. Here we go. I'm gonna inform you all what a meme is, just so that you can be in the times with me now. Okay, this is what a meme is. It is an image or a phrase that becomes a cultural representation of a thought or an idea. Okay? An image or a phrase that becomes a cultural representation of a thought or an idea. Now, one of the most notable memes this last year was "Don't be a Karen." Now, I apologize if there is a Karen in the room. We love you. It has nothing to do with you. I have an Aunt Karen, and I'm fond of her. But for the sake of explaining this meme, I will share what a Karen is. Okay, ready? A Karen is someone who is perceived to be entitled or demanding beyond the scope of what is appropriate or necessary. Okay? Now, you're probably thinking, I know a Karen. Or better yet, you're like, I am Karen. Right? Okay. So, if you've never heard of this, don't use your TV, use your computer and Google this later, because it is very funny what a Karen actually is. But this morning, I want to offer a positive parody to the Don't Be a Karen. We're going to make a meme together, okay? Yes, you are more with the times than you ever knew. Here we go. We are going to make a meme. Be an Andrew. Be an Andrew. In my opinion, one of the most overlooked people in the disciples, in the Gospels, are Andrew, the disciple Andrew. Compared to all the other disciples, Andrew, he was quite ordinary. He wasn't a part of Jesus' like little inner circle. He wasn't like Peter, James, or John. However, where we do see Andrew in Scripture, he is always seeming to bring people to Jesus. We're going to look at this. There's three instances where we see Andrew doing something completely ordinary that leads to Jesus doing something extraordinary. Something that Andrew couldn't have done himself. Something far, far greater, far bigger than if he was just simply on his own. So we see in John 1, Andrew brought his brother Simon Peter to Jesus. He literally brought him to come and see Jesus for himself. Without Andrew, Peter would have never walked on water. Without Andrew, Peter wouldn't have been one of the first disciples to claim Jesus as the Son of God. Without Andrew, Simon would have remained Simon and would have never had the opportunity for Jesus to rewrite a story to become Peter. We see in John 6 that Andrew is the one that helps find the boy with the loaves and the fish. With Jesus, what Jesus then used to... Ooh, that's sun, man. Sorry. All right. Which Jesus, he then used to feed the 5,000. Without Andrew, the 5,000 people would have never experienced the compassion of Jesus coming and meeting their needs. It was because of Andrew that thousands of people got to witness his power and authority here on this earth. It was because of Andrew that thousands of people were invited into the story of God's kingdom here and now. And finally, in John 12, Andrew, he helped the Greeks find Jesus during his last day. As Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the Greeks, also referred to as the Gentiles, they were coming there for the Passover festival. And most likely these men had heard about Jesus, but had not yet seen or met him. And they wanted to speak directly to this Jesus. Now, if you don't know the significance of this, in John chapter 12, this is where Jesus revealed to them that he is the Son of Man, showing that salvation is not just for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. This was that, like, one of those indicators. It was because of Andrew that these outsiders didn't just hear about Jesus, but they got to see Jesus. Now, what I want to show you kind of what I did there. Jesus didn't need Andrew for any of this. Jesus did this all. He could have done all of this without Andrew's help. There's a tension that we live in. I say it's because of Andrew, because Andrew was obedient and said yes, right? The Holy Spirit, he wants to do something in and through us. But he doesn't need us. He uses us. And so we have to choose to say yes. We have to choose to say yes to something ordinary with an extraordinary God who just blows it out of the park, blows it out of the water. And so we live in this tension, like Andrew, where God chooses to use us, and then we see him do something incredible with it. Whenever you're unsure of how to represent Christ, how to be Christ's ambassadors, remember this. Don't just tell people about Jesus, but show them. You don't have to be a great communicator. You don't have to have all of these talents. You don't have to even be a big Bible scholar and know all these things. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be ready to share our story. We shouldn't be ready to share our testimony in and out of season. Let's not forget what the paralytic man's friends were praised for. Manual labor, carrying a mat. Creating an opportunity, breaking a roof. You see, we have tangible steps that we can all take to help introduce people to Jesus. And I'm going to walk through three different steps with you this morning that you can do to help introduce people to Jesus. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you guys some questions, okay? And I want you to write them down, answer them, like, in your head. And then I want you to just sit on them, okay? So the answer to these questions is going to help you introduce people to Jesus. Okay, first question is, do I myself know Jesus and meet with him? You see, when Andrew invited Simon Peter to come meet Jesus, he did it because he knew that Jesus is worth meeting. He knew that Jesus is someone worth knowing. You see, I am that very awkward mom who loves my goobers. Like, and I will have my phone, regardless if I have reception or not, and I will meet someone new, and I will talk about my family, and I will pull up my phone, and I'll be like, I want to show you all my pictures of my people, because I love them. And I will sit there, and like, regardless if the thing is just twirling like this, like meaning like it's loading, I will sit there in the awkwardness, because I believe my children, my husband, are worth knowing. Why? Because they're my people. They're who I spend all my time with. Is your relationship with Jesus like that? Do you meet with him so much and spend so much time with him that you can't help but to ooze him, that you can't help but to just overflow in that relationship to other people? Does Jesus mean so much to you that you have a hard time resisting talking about him? That you have a hard time resisting talking about your relationship with him? Do I myself know Jesus and meet with him? Second question, do I see the opportunity in a situation, or am I focused on the obstacles? See, Andrew, he saw the opportunity with one boy, two fish and five loaves and 5,000 people. It could have been really easy to respond like Philip did, and I'm sure that this would be some of our responses. What Philip said is, Jesus, even if we would have worked for months, we wouldn't have had enough money to feed these people. But Andrew, he saw an opportunity and he trusted that Jesus could do something extraordinary with it. When you look at your family, when you look at your workplace, when you look at your children, your friends, when you look at your own heart, do you see an opportunity there? Or are you focused on the obstacle? Pray for it. Pray for the opportunity. Trust Jesus in the opportunity. Ask for eyes to see the opportunity, and then be obedient and say yes when the opportunity comes. Do I see the opportunity in a situation, or am I focused on the obstacle? Okay, last question. Do I connect with people who are different than I am? We see in John 12 that Andrew, being a Jew, had been approached by Greeks, by these Gentiles, asking him and Philip if they could see Jesus. So the differences between the Greeks and the Jews back then were vast. Everything was different. The way they dressed was different. The teachings were different. Their schooling, their language, the food that they ate was different. I even read that the way that they washed themselves was different. Everything was different. The gods that they served and worship were different. And so right now, we see that we are surrounded by people different than us. I mean, turn on the news, right? We are in a very, very diverse world. And so are you surrounding yourself with people who are different than you? Do you see your neighbor as someone that needs to meet Jesus? Do you see your atheist boss as someone who needs to meet Jesus? Do you see that person in your family who disagrees with your life completely because you love Jesus as someone who needs to meet the Jesus that you serve? Tom and I, having lived in the deep south of Louisiana, and having then lived in a very liberal city like Madison, have been in contact and had people in our homes from all over the world. We've had people who have been so impoverished that they've lived in their car for years, been in our home. We've had students from Korea. We've had the rich white suburb kids. We've had everywhere in between. I learned how to cut a black man's hair. That is very hard to do. Very different than cutting my husband's hair, but so rewarding. Being able to serve someone that's different than me, being able to learn about their culture, being able to learn how they view Jesus, being able to learn how they grew up and how that affects how they see Jesus. Do I connect with people who are different than I am, that I can have those kingdom conversations with? As I speak these out, I myself am praying and working through these questions. You see, I want to come back to that tension that we live in. Jesus wants to do something far greater in us than what he wants to do through us. Think about it. Think about the man, the paralytic man. Jesus didn't need them to bring him to him. He could have healed him from the house where he was. But yet, Jesus chose to bless the faith of these friends. He chose to show his faithfulness in that. But look at the paralytic man himself. Jesus, the first thing he said is, "Son, your sins are forgiven." It wasn't until Jesus addressed what was in him that then Jesus was faithful to show his power and authority through him by healing him. That tension of God's ability and then yet using us is real, and it's there. God is longing to do something in you and then through you as we are obedient to him. So in Chi Alpha, we see ourselves as Andrew in four specific areas. If you want to go to the next slide. First off, we introduce students to the lost. You would be surprised, but there are students that have never heard the name of Jesus except for as a swear word. You would be surprised at the mental health concerns that are on our campus right now, with the isolation that's been happening, with students being ripped out of school as seniors in high school and then thrown into an isolated campus as freshmen in college. Students are in desperate need of the truth of Jesus. And so one of the ways that we do that is introducing the lost to Jesus. Second would be protecting the investment of the church. So being a youth leader, being in youth ministry for all those years, I was like, man, I have poured my heart and soul into these kids, and yet who's walking alongside them in college? And so Tom and I, that is 100% on our heart, is coming alongside these Christian students and protecting the investment that the church and the families and the parents have made into these students, helping walk alongside them, bringing them into a Christian community, helping them grow deeper in that. And then we see our international students. So Tom and I are really hoping to be able to come alongside the university and help bring more international students to our campus. Right now, on a campus of 8,000, we currently have about 125 international students. That is really sad. That is really sad, because what we see with international students is that they are who goes and reaches the ends of the earth. When we introduce students, international students, to Jesus on our campus, they are the ones that are going back to their own country in their native language, in their villages, with their families, and they are going to be able to proclaim that truth to them right then and there after they know it. And so we see international students as reaching the ends of the earth, as Jesus calls. And then finally, we know that every student is not going to come and be a pastor and be a missionary, but they're going to be doctors and lawyers and engineers and teachers. And so we want to help students abide in Jesus wherever they go. They are our next world's leaders. And so helping students get integrated into the fabric of the local church is one of the ways that we see ourselves as Andrews. So if you go to the next slide, I want to introduce you guys to Erin. So Erin, she is a junior at Stevens Point right now and is going to be teaching. Erin is one of our most recent examples of life transformation and what can happen when you are simply obedient to what God asks, and then he meets people and starts rewriting their stories. So Erin was brought to one of the things we do called Friend Dinner. This is where basically we open up our home. We cook a lot of food because, you know, like, build the field, they will come, cook the food, and they will come. So that is the motto in college ministry, cook the food and they will come. So we cook a bunch of food and we play games. But this isn't where we have the Jesus conversation. This is simply where we build friendship and build community. Now, I didn't put this picture up because we're just beginning to know Pastor Dave, and we want to be friends for a long time. And if I put this picture up, he might, I didn't know. So this picture is a picture of the two guys that brought Erin to Friend Dinner. Now, the guy over here on my side is wearing a very, very naked Santa sweater. So, again, why I did not put it on your very large screen up there. So, but these two guys, they were college students at UW-Platteville, and they were doing an engineering co-op in Stevens Point. Now, these two guys do not yet know Jesus, but they were introduced to us and brought to our friend dinner, and they fell in love with my quesadillas, so they stayed. So, no joke. But come Halloween, they're at a drunken party in UW-Platteville, and they meet Erin. And in their drunkenness, they find out that she's from Point, and they invite her to come to friend dinner because that is a place where they feel loved. It's a place where they're fed. It's a place where they get to connect with students. So Erin gets invited, and again, creeped out that there's 30-year-olds that are with kids, hosting college students and cooking quesadillas. But she comes, she says yes, and she meets the community there. And I get to then invite Erin out to coffee. Out to lunch, actually. But it's there that I get to have the Jesus conversation with her. And now, if you go to the next picture, Erin is involved in our launch team. Erin knows Jesus. She loves Jesus. She is pursuing Jesus alongside our students. Now, this picture was taken in September before we met Erin. This picture has since doubled. And we're going to be going into the fall next semester with almost 20 students in our group. You see, Jesus, he honors the faith of others. He honors our simple yeses when we are obedient to him. God, he is doing something incredible at UWSP, and I'm so grateful that I get to come and share it with you. Now, like the friends of the paralytic man, we also need partners in helping Jesus rewrite the stories on our campus. So we are at 92%, y'all. That percent went up since I emailed you this. God, he's so faithful. We need partners. Would you pray for us? The only reason why we are on our campus is because we serve a gracious God who hears our prayers. And so we need prayer warriors. If you pray, take one of our prayer cards, please, because we believe in your prayers. We believe that the Lord hears them. Next, connect with us. I just met somebody whose son went to Point. I was like, oh, this is fantastic. Like, y'all know people who either go to Point or you know somebody who knows somebody who goes to Point. And so please connect us with those people. We want to bring them into our community. And then if you, if the Lord has placed this on your heart, if you would connect with us through financial giving, we are in need of help through monthly support. We have a little over $500 yet a month that we are trying to support, and we can't get on campus. We're not allowed to be on campus until we're fully supported. And we believe God is going to bring us there, but we're trying to see who is going to be on our team to help bring us there. And again, we believe that we are going to get to that 100%. And so Jesus, right, he rewrites the stories of us when we say yes. He rewrote the story of the paralytic man. He rewrites the stories of our students on campus, and he has changed everything. He rewrote my story and has changed everything. You were brought here not by accident, but for a reason. And so some of us, maybe you're stagnant in your faith right now. Maybe you're like, man, I do this every week. This is what I've known to do, and so this is what I do it. Or maybe you're here and you have not fully given the pen over to Jesus to help him or to give him permission to rewrite your story. And so I just want to pray for you this morning. If you're like, man, I need some encouragement. I need to give the pen back to Jesus to rewrite my story. I want to pray for you this morning. So Lord, I thank you for everyone's story here. I thank you how you have created each and every one of us with a beautiful plan and purpose, that you created each and every one of us to be in this perfect relationship with you. And there are some of us, Lord, that have been in this relationship for a long time, and we need the joy and the sparks to come back. We need to be those children again that sit at your feet and are in awe of you. Lord, would you begin to rewrite our story? And then maybe there are some of us that have not yet fully given and surrendered to you. Lord, will you soften the grip on our hand of our pen that we may give it to you to begin rewriting the beautiful story that you have had planned all along, knowing that you are faithful to use what we've already messed up and to turn it into something completely beautiful because that's who you are. Lord, we pray for the students on campuses all over the state, all over this area, that you would meet them, that you would meet them in their dorms, that you would meet them in their classrooms, that you would meet their professors, that you would give hope to their parents, to their churches, that you would show your faithfulness through them, through their lives, being redeemed and saved by you. I thank you for this church. I pray that you would bless it. I pray, Lord, that you would bless their efforts, that you would help them reach this community of Kingsford, that you would take what they're doing and multiply it, showing your glory, showing your magnitude, showing your love. I pray that you would bless Pastor Dave and the staff here, that you would anoint them, that you would give them courage and truth to walk in, that you give them rest when they need it. Lord, and I pray that you would continue to make this body stronger in you each and every day. We love you, Jesus. We thank you that you are our God. We say this in your name. Amen. Thank you, church. Thank you, Pastor Dave.
If you did not give earlier when you came in, you can always designate an offering for the Bargs and put it in the boxes at the back, or you can give during the week online and just designate it in that little line that says Bargs there, and all of that money that comes in will go to them and the ministry that they have. Nicole is going to be in the back. There's a bunch of information on the back table. You want to pick up a prayer card at least and make sure that you are praying for them and the ministry that God is leading them into. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, it is always good to gather with friends and worship you and to pray together and to hear the challenge of your word. And thank you for the challenge and the encouragement of this day. We pray that we would take it to heart, that we would pray consistently through it. And Lord, that you would use us as an instrument of helping to rewrite someone's story this week and move them toward your grace, your mercy, and your great good news of love through Jesus Christ. Empower us by your Holy Spirit as we leave this place to do your will. In Jesus' name. Amen.